I want you to look again now, if you would, at verse 12 of this text, a familiar text. For those of you who have been at Beacon Baptist any length of time, you'll notice God is promising the house of Jacob that if they would simply turn away from this disease of insincerity in their worship and their service, that in addition to all of the physical blessings described in verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, they would also enjoy the very spiritual singular blessing of a certain unique virtue. Look at verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. A few weeks ago, while teaching the high school Sunday school class, I turned to this text and I encouraged your teenagers, our young people, to look into their futures as those that were young and forking the road and decide many decisions, make many decisions that would determine their long-term lives. And I told them to look in the futures and to decide to become the kind of person that God describes in this text. After that lesson, one of the young people in Sunday school came to me and said, "Pastor, would you please, please preach on this text sometime in the future in the big church?" Now, they didn't say why or who they had in mind, probably their parents. And so I said, "Okay, Lance, I'll preach on that just for your parents." I'm just kidding. It wasn't Lance. It was Alexandria who said that. The next day, actually Tuesday, the following Tuesday, Andy, who was also in class that morning, said to me, he suggested that I revisit this text as well in the bigger congregation. And so here we are. And you know, this is one of the texts, one of the themes in the Bible where the more I study it, the more I meditate on it, the more I think about it, the more convicted, the more challenged I am as I realize that God is telling the sons of Jacob something powerful. They were telling them of all the things in the glorious kingdom of God, of all of the things in this whole wide-eyed world that a person could be called or titled or known as, known for, designated as. Frankly, there aren't many at all that rise to the level of what God promises in verse 12. In other words, look, there's not a whole lot of things that God could say or do for one of his own that would have and confer a greater honor to that person than for him to call that person, quote, a repairer of the breach. Thou shalt be called, this is your reputation, this is what you're known, and called, first of all, from heaven itself, a repairer of the breach, and then he says, a restorer of the paths to dwell in. Why? Why is that such a meaningful and such a powerful designation? Remind you of what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." There again, they shall be called something. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God." Now, obviously, that's a very powerful statement that comes from the lips of our Lord Jesus. He said, if you want to be called a child of God, then you're supposed to be a peacemaker. And what exactly is a peacemaker? Well, a peacemaker is essentially what Isaiah describes in this text tonight. A peacemaker is a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the paths. And as such, it is a reminder tonight of some things in Scripture that I think all of us desperately must hear over and over again from the Word of God, beginning with this first truth. It is a truth, number one, the obvious one, about the reason, the cause for the breach in the first place. I want you to hold your place and turn back a few chapters, Isaiah chapter 30, because this is a bit of a theme in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. Notice verse 12. "Therefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking, the breach breaking, cometh suddenly at an instant." Now, I want you to hear this very carefully. The word breach literally means broken. It means torn. If I were to take this piece of paper, all right, this is the Bliss letter. Don't get mad at me, Brother Bill. I'm about to rip it. If I were to take this piece of paper and pull one side of the paper away from the other side, I'm just tearing the Bliss letter right in half, aren't I? There's going to be a breach between me and Brother Bill. There's more where this came from. What am I doing? When I do that, when I pull one side away from the other, I am creating a breach. So that you see, what was once unified, what was once together, what was once complete, is now broken, is now obviously divided. And of course, that is perfectly okay with some things in life. Light is not meant to be in unity with darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And the answer is none. However, with many, many things in life, some are meant to be together. Some are not meant to be together. Some are joined together by God Himself. And what God joins together, let not a man or man put asunder. Jeremiah 14:17 says, "My people are broken with a breach." And you know what? That breach, ladies and gentlemen, was not in the will of God. That breach in Jeremiah, like most breaches in life, was outside of God's original plan. In fact, you remember that it was Satan himself, it's the devil, who relishes in and encourages, enables, and deceives people into the very breaches that God despises. So the reason for the breach, in these cases, is Satan. It is sin, it's rebellion, it's disobedience. It is one person, not even necessarily two, but at least one who has decided to do the thing that brings the disunity. The cause. That brings us to the second thing in the text, and that is, number two, the consequences. Number one are the ramifications. Number two, or number one is the reason. Number two are the ramifications. Look at chapter 58 again, would you? Chapter 58 and verse 12. "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations." Now, here's a very vivid picture. You'll notice that God is using with, if you know the context of this, He's using the rubble of Judah's destruction, the wall at Jerusalem, and the great temple that lie within it were no longer a symbol of beauty, of grace, of safety, or of strength. So the very purpose for a continuous wall is to keep vandals out, to keep thieves out, and to keep the sheep and the children in. It was a defensive wall, a protective wall that because of, in this case, the second law of thermodynamics, or some cases, it required constant upkeep and diligent and care. Everything tends, including relationships, everything tends to fall apart. And sure enough, if there was ever a breach in that wall or in the fence, a broken portion, and that allowed the enemy to have a way inside, it just takes a little. You know, the reason why those floodwaters devastated the lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans several years ago was that a little breach in the levee system allowed a storm surge to create these violent currents, and ultimately they got more violent, and it destroyed buildings and homes and lives. I think it's a great reminder and a picture. It's a perfect illustration of what happens to parents and their children, to friends and fellow friends, to colleagues, to fellow believers, to churches. It is precisely what happens to families and to partnerships and sometimes even to nations that allow the devil and the devil's tools to put a breach in their relationship. God is in the business of making things one that belong as one. Satan is in the business of breaking them apart and causing destruction. And folks, that is why Satan and sin work with the breaches between people, between people in organizations. You see it throughout the Bible. Cain and Abel. Saul and David, Jacob and Esau, Abraham and Lot, David and Absalom, Barnabas and Paul, Samuel and Saul. The enormous ramifications of even a little breach sometimes between two people. We see it, if we've noted in this history of Israel on Wednesday nights with the children of God, the children of Israel, when God told Isaiah to cry aloud and spare not, to lift up your voice like a trumpet. He said this. He said, "Tell my people that I'm tired of their strife. I'm weary of their debate. I want a repairer of the breach." Which brings us to a third truth in the text. We gave the reason. Number two, the ramifications. Number three, and this is what I want us to consider tonight mostly, and that's the remedy. Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I'm talking this evening to a whole bunch of folks that ought to be called. You ought to be known. It'll be famous for being a repairer of the breach. This church should be known in this community. I'm talking about where things should be won and people as a repairer of the breach. About 40 years ago in Connersville, Indiana, there was a great revival. A real, lasting, genuine, bona fide revival in a local New Testament church there. What had happened is that many years before that, Calvary Baptist Church had a split. Calvary Baptist was a large church, a well-known church in Connersville, and about half of the folks left the church, moved across town, and started the Baptist Temple. For years, there was bitterness between these two churches that came out of one congregation. There was gossip and scorning and strife. It was a terrible, the whole town. The people in the town that had businesses, they watched and they listened to these people, and it was a terrible testimony, and it was a great victory for Satan, as it always is. One night, at the Baptist Temple, Pastor E.G. Robertson said, you know what? He came years later. He says, I'm not going to have this. One Wednesday night, he announced to his people, he said, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have church tonight. We're going to pray. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to ask God, those of us in this room who have been a part of this, ask God to forgive us for every bad, spiteful thing we said about our fellow believers across town. And after we get on our knees, I've got buses outside and they're waiting for us. We're all going to go. We're going to leave this church after we ask God for forgiveness. If you don't have a forgiving heart, I don't want you to get on the bus. We're going to get on the bus. We're going to drive across town and we're going to go to the folks in the other church and we're going to go to their church service. And we're going to walk in. And we're going to listen, and when service is over, we're going to walk up to people that we know, some maybe we don't know, and we're going to ask them to forgive us. It's exactly what they did. I don't know if you can think about this, but if you imagine in your mind all the years of bitterness and anger, and this entire congregation walks into church, and they go up to people after service, and of course the pastor, if that had been me, I'd have been like, uh-oh, staves, swords, torches, what are they bringing with them? Spears. You know, we have enough people in this church who pack heat that probably it would have been a bad scene that night. But when they did that, God came down in both congregations. They put a full page ad, both churches put a full page ad in the newspaper and told the town, the entire town, what they did, what was wrong, and what they should do in Christ. And people started getting saved left and right. You know, let me ask you this. Suppose two people you know two people over here, okay? And they get into a riff. This is brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And you know about it, and you watch it. These are two children of God, two Christians who are commanded to love one another and live in unity in the bond of Jesus Christ. But there's some offense that has separated the fellowship of these two. As Charlie mentioned a couple of Sunday nights ago, synecdoche. So, you know, here we have these two people, and they are mad for whatever reason. Usually it's something little. It gets down to that. Didn't speak to me or offended me or mistreated my child, owes me money, told a rumor about me. There's a breach. And you, as a third party, you know about this breach. What would you do? What do you do? Do you join hands with Lucifer and worsen the breach by spreading one side of the story or the other side of the story? In so doing, you sort of take sides. You go to the one person and you say, I can't believe that she would say that about you. I can't believe that I'm on your side. Or maybe or someone else goes to the other person and so on. Are you the kind of person that relishes and enjoys and sees conflicts in other people and you decide to worsen it? Or Can God pretty much count on you? That if you're in the right situation and given the opportunity in the open window, you actually come and you try your best. The power of the Holy Spirit to put the two back together. I remember very well, I was a youth director in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the school administrator and I, Brother Scott, we were very close. We worked together in the same church in Michigan as well. He moved down there, and some years later I moved, and we were back together again. Very close. We did a lot together. I remember one night, or one week, we had a conflict between the church and the school. In other words, they were scheduling something. At the same time, I had a big activity, and so it was a conflict. And that's usually a problem when Christian schools are part of a church. Well, you know what? I went to him, and he wouldn't give in. Because he wanted the school to have what the school wanted or needed, and since I was right, I wouldn't give in either, right? We couldn't resolve it. We tried, and so we went to the pastor. We were actually kind of called into the pastor, and I talked to the pastor, and he talked to the pastor, and I gave my opinion, and he gave his opinion, and the pastor looked at both of us, and he says, well, I think Brother Jim is right, of course. So I thought in my mind, instantly, you know, I thought two words, I won. And I was younger. I was young. I was a youth director. And we left that building, we left that office, and we both went our ways, and I could tell, boy, the air was thick. He was very angry. I wasn't angry at all. In fact, I was whistling because I won, and I was right in my mind. But now there was a breach. And, you know, honestly, we wouldn't speak to each other. I mean, we were buddies and friends, and yet now in the hallway it was awkward, and there was tension. You could feel it, and we wouldn't look each other in the eye. And I remember one day, another man, several days had passed, another man who was on staff, he came into my office. He opened the door, he poked his head in, he goes, hey, Brother Jim, I just want you to know, I'm on your side. And he turned around and he walked out. When he said that, my heart was smitten because I knew this gentleman. He wasn't on God's side and he wasn't on my side. What he was trying to do was turn this little battle into a full-scale war, because after that I found out that he had gone to a whole bunch of other people and said, we're on Brother Jim's side. We're not on Brother Scott's side. When I found that out, I immediately went over to Brother Scott's office, and we talked and mended that breach, which, quite frankly, that other staff member could have done just as easily. He could have walked into my office and said, hey, Brother Jim, listen, I don't think this is healthy or good or needful. Why don't you and me and Brother Scott have lunch or go golfing? I didn't golf in those days. All right, do something else. Why don't we, you know what? He could have just as easily been a repairer of the breach. The problem is, that man was what the Bible calls, he was a sower of discord. Not surprisingly, a few years later, he's out of the ministry, he's no longer married, rebellious children, bitter, living alone. He could have easily been the restorer of the breach that day, the repairer, and we needed one. Frankly, I needed one as a young man at that time, and God is always ready to empower one. Do you know tonight that God loves the repairer of the breach? Blessed, Jesus said, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Well, what's a war maker called between God's people? What is he called? This is a part of the very ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, some of you, no doubt, can think of somebody right now with which you have had a breach. If they're a child of God, a fellow believer, God is not pleased. God is not happy. God will not honor fully your service, your ceremony, your works if you willfully keep that breach on your end. In fact, I remind you of what Jesus said. He said, before you bring your gift to the altar, I don't need it. Before you bring your gift to the altar, go make it right with your brother first. Those are the words of our Lord. But Pastor, she won't listen to me. He won't listen to me. You know, that doesn't matter. God will honor you and God will bless you if you're the restorer of your side of the breach. I don't know about you, but you know how I want to live? I don't. My dad lived this way. I want to live without any malice or ill will toward any other human being. on this earth until the day I die. And if there's an offended brother or sister, I would love to be the repairer of the breach between us or someone else. Because while I'm far from doing any of that, I know that it pleases God and I want to please God. And I might include, by the way, that also includes any breach between someone and God Himself. In other words, let's suppose you know somebody who was in fellowship with God, walking with God, and you found out that they did something terrible, they did something wrong. Do you gossip about it? Gloat about it? I still remember I was a very young pastor here, and something horrible had happened with some folks in Beacon Baptist Church, and the first person I told was Brother Steve Hatcher. And when I told Steve, his reaction to that news was perfect. He wept. He didn't gloat. He didn't go tell anybody. In fact, as far as I know, he never told a soul other than people that could make a difference. And that's the reaction of someone who can and ought to be a repairer of the breach. Do you gossip about it? Maybe gloat? Scorn and make the breach worse? Do you point your finger and say, look at that breach? Look at those people. Look at that. And talk about it. Look at verse 9 of our text. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger, speaking vanity. Are you that type person? Or do you seek to restore fellowship for that brother and that sister who's away from God, a repairer of the breach and a restorer of the paths? I don't know about you, but can't you see why this would please God so much? I mean, think about it. When God looks down and he sees one person that he loves trying to repair and mend a breach between two other people that he loves, think about your own children. What would you think if you saw one of your children trying their best to get two of your other children to love each other as they should? God gave one reason in the Bible why he did not destroy the children of Israel. I'm not saying there was only one reason, but he gives us one in the Word of God. He mentions it in Psalm 106. Therefore, he said that he would not destroy them, that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Moses, the meekest man who ever lived, the Bible says, the meekest man on the earth, saw a breach between God's people and God, and he tried to stand and mend that breach. God loves the repairer. The last part of verse 12, you'll notice, says, he shall be restorer, called a restorer of the paths. And of course, these are the paths that once led to the temple, to worship, to the fellowship of God. But now they are overgrown with weeds, cluttered with rubble. Nobody travels them anymore. And God looks down, and instead of seeing the usual scorner who is delighting, who is criticizing, who is scoffing at the condition of the paths, this is the person, as God looks down from heaven, who is clearing the path, who is removing the weeds and picking up the rubble. This is a restorer of the breach. And God says, this is the person that I'm going to bless. This was Nehemiah. This was young King Josiah. This was John the Baptist and Abigail. This was Barnabas. Barnabas, who took a young man named Saul and a skeptical church at Jerusalem and Antioch, and brought them back together and gave us 14 books in the New Testament. They named him Son of Encouragement. In other words, he was called a repairer of the breach. Thou shalt be called that. You know, that's why God loves soul winning and soul winners, because here is a person, they're repairing, at least being an instrument, a tool of God and repairing the breach between God and man. Let me say this and I'll close. The Bible, as you know, gives Satan many names. One of the names that the Bible gives to Satan is Apollyon. It means destroyer. This is what Satan does. He destroys. But the Lord Jesus is called the builder, the chief cornerstone, the advocate, the author and finisher, the creator, the door, the mediator. In every way, the Son of God is described as a repairer of the breach between man and between God. If you're here tonight and you want to be like Christ and not like the devil, and I do, I'm not. Trust me, I'm not always. But if you want to be more like Christ, blessed are the peacemakers. Repairer of the breach, a mediator. Satan's the destroyer. It's very possible tonight that someone here tonight doesn't know Christ as Savior. God wants to repair the breach. He sent His Son, Jesus, to do precisely that. It's only repaired when you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Father, I pray You'll bless the invitation. Thank You for Your goodness to us, Lord. Thank You that Christ became the true and eternal repairer of our breach. May we be more Christ-like. And Father, may we be more Christ-honoring in how we talk and how we behave, how we act. And all the times that we see a rift, may we be a restorer, Father, of the paths to dwell in. May we remember that You said, blessed, through Your Son, blessed are the peacemakers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.